Don't think I'll understand.
Stay.
Stay with me. Stay.
I know this song. I know this song for some reason. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back to the show. Triple Play Thursday, where you can hear three songs by your favorite artist or an artist that you enjoy. We play three of them because it's Triple Play Thursday. Stephen Oakberg nominated Shakespeare's Sister as a Triple Play Thursday artist, and the song there was Stay. Why do I know that song?
Might have been like the one. Yeah, it was number one in the UK.
Yeah.
And it hit the top 40?
Yeah, I know that song for some reason. I don't know. Does it have a year?
92.
Oh, sure. All right. All right. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here. Dan Shigrew, my producer, and Esmeralda Leon is in the newsroom, and we are going to be talking with Kevin Miller, who is a cyclist, and he has been riding a stationary bike 24 hours a day since February 21st. He's going to continue until the 5th, until Friday. No, Saturday. Saturday's the 5th. Right? Yes, Saturday's the 5th. He's doing a 14-day ride to raise funds for 14 different charities, and to raise awareness for his cycling gym called Handlebars, which is located at 175 West Jackson in Naperville. He's there right now on the bike. You can go out and give him some support, cheer him on. We'll talk to him live coming up in about an hour and get a report from what's going on. And he will probably be on a break at the time we talk to him. And we'll talk about that. And there was a guy in 2008 and who did it a few times. We talked to George Hood, who was a resident of Aurora, who did 9 days straight at a Y in Naperville. And we talked to him while he was on the bike as well. And Kevin is doing this to raise a bunch of money for charities and to get people to come out to Handlebars in Naperville. So we'll talk to him. That sounds like something that you could get a world record for. You can try to do a world record. And that got me to thinking about weird and crazy Guinness World Records. So I've got some here that we're going to get into, and some of them are just ridiculous. they really are. Now, I don't know. You guys probably don't remember. Do you guys remember the episode where Fred Sanford tries to break a record, a Guinness World Record?
You don't remember? I do not.
You don't remember that one?
Nope.
It's got one of my favorite Fred Sanford lines of all time in it. Well, the idea is that this is what's late in the series. This is like one of the last episodes, I think, of the series. So it wasn't as good because the first three or four seasons of Sanford are phenomenal, and then it just kind of got worse, and it became very clear as the seasons went by that Red Fox like didn't care, and every episode was just him sitting in the chair going, "Shut up, Esther," you know. And that was pretty much like every single episode. And by the time they had the Sanford Arms, like the Sanford Arms, like they owned a hotel. By the time it got to that point, it was like, all right. But this was a pretty funny episode. You find out that Lamont is getting married. He's gonna, you know, marry his longtime girlfriend, and Fred is gonna meet the mother of this woman, and he wants to impress her. But he feels bad because he's just a junk dealer, you know? And he's like, "I don't know what I'm going to do. She's not going to like me." And so he wants to do something to impress her, to you know, make her like him. And not just be, you know, a junk dealer who tells Esther to shut up and make gorilla cookies out of her face. So he decides he's going to break a record. His friend Bubba says, you should break a record, Fred. And so what he decides to do is he's going to stay up as long as he can. He's got to break the world record. He's got to stay. I can't remember. He's got to stay up for like a week so he can't go to sleep. So everybody's trying to keep him awake. He's got people coming over to keep him awake. He's, you know, He's got a kid bouncing a basketball over and over again to keep him awake. He's got Bubba singing Alexander's Ragtime Band over and over again into his ear to keep him awake. All in an effort to impress this woman. So he's like, I'm not going to make it. I ain't going to make it, Bubba. This ain't good. And Bubba's like, don't worry, Fred. I got Esther coming over. She'll keep you awake. And he's like, oh, yeah, look at her face. Keep me awake for a month, you know. So he's there, and they knock. There's a knock at the door, and he thinks it's Esther. And he walks over to the door, and he thinks it's Esther there to keep him awake. He opens the door, and he bends over. He doesn't look. He opens the door, and he bends over, and he goes, welcome to my castle, your ugliness. And it turns out to be his future in-law. So the woman he's trying to impress, welcome to my castle, your ugliness. It's one of my favorite lines. One of my favorite lines ever on Sanford and Son. Then he looks up and sees her and, of course, you know, has a heart attack. Because that's what Fred does. Anytime something, he grabs his chest and this is a big one. But, yeah, that's my favorite. Welcome to my castle, your ugliness. But then what eventually happens, in case you haven't seen the episode, I don't want to ruin it for you, but Fred falls asleep behind the couch when the guy from the Guinness World Book of Records shows up. He's like 3 minutes away from breaking the record, and he falls asleep behind the couch. So he doesn't break the record. And he's like, oh, man. But Bubba breaks the record for singing Alexander's Ragtime Band for like 8 million times. And the kid breaks the world record for bouncing the basketball. But Fred doesn't get anything. Poor Fred. Welcome to my castle, your ugliness. That show is just genius.
I was in the Guinness Book of World Records along with my high school for a short period of time.
What? Maybe I've heard this before. What is it about?
St. Patrick High School.
Yeah.
Including yours truly.
Yeah.
Had the largest hacky sack circle for a few years.
We are indeed in the 90s. We are indeed back in the 90s. What the hell? Okay, all right, hold on. No, no, no. You can't just say that and not do a follow-up.
I had tried to time it so we wouldn't have to spend much time.
Yeah, well, we're going to come back, and we're going to hear how the hell the largest hacky sack circle was at St. Pat's. Well, you Catholic boys are bored, man. Oh, man. Okay, hold on, because we're talking about weird world records. By the way, the fastest talker was in 1995. Canadian Sean Shannon recited Hamlet's To Be or Not to Be soliloquy, which is 260 words, in 23.8 seconds. Yeah. All right. That's how I direct plays, by the way. Faster, louder. That's it. Those are my two. I've directed plays for over 20 years in this city. And my two biggest notes were faster, louder. Because I direct comedies, and if they're loud and fast, inevitably it's funny.
By the way,
uh-huh.
I, too, am part of a Guinness World Record. I forgot about it.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I mean, I'm probably not in the book or anything. Okay. I don't know about, like, Dan over here with his hacky sacks.
Okay, you know what? So am I. I'm not making this up.
Look at
so
us.
Am
We're
I.
All Guinness World Record holders.
Welcome to my castle, your ugliness. All right, we have to break. Well, the first thing we're going to do after we hear the traffic and the weather is hear Dan's extraordinary tale of hacky sack. Were you wearing a fedora at the time, Dan?
No.
Okay.
Fortunately not.
All right. Oh. Yeah. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. Your overnight dude, Steve in Oakbrook for Triple Play Thursday, picks Shakespeare's sister, and this is a song called Dirty Mind, not to be confused with the Prince jam. Okay, we're going to be talking about weird Guinness World Records, and then live, we're going to be talking with a guy who's not trying to break a Guinness World Record, but he's doing something that is pretty crazy. He is riding a stationary bike. He has been riding a stationary bike since February 21st. And except for breaks for sleep, he's been doing this. It's a 14-day ride to raise funds for 14 different charities and to raise awareness for a new cycling gym called Handlebars, which is located in Naperville. Kevin Miller is going to join us live on one of his short breaks and to talk about that. But that got us to talking about Guinness World Records, and Dan just dropped a bombshell before we took a break that, Dan, you and your high school, St. Patrick's, on the northwest side of Chicago, at one time broke a set a Guinness
World Record. One time set.
And it was for the largest hacky sack
circle.
All right, explain.
In the world. I don't know the origin. I think it had to do something with team building and camaraderie or something. I think that's what they said at the pep rally where they told us this was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So one fine spring day, we, all 1,000 students, gathered around the campus grounds. So, for example, I was on the practice football field, but I know there were people who were out on Belmont Avenue in front of the school, you know, up and down the street, around the corner, on up around. And so we did not have to do it continuously, obviously, because we would still be there if that was still the case.
Yeah.
But basically everybody in the circle just tapped the hacky sack once with their foot, and it went around once, and we set the world Guinness record for largest hacky sack circle.
Which at one point was 1,000 dudes.
Yep.
Did you also set the record for puka shell necklaces? At the same time.
And Dave Matthews listened to it.
Oh, no.
All right. I take offense at the Dave Matthews thing. It's true, but I still take offense.
It was the time period. It was 96 or 5 or
no,
7.
No, that's huge. That's when Dave actually had more than just followers. He actually was on the chart and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
So that happened.
That's fantastic. Do you have any pictures?
I've been Googling. I've been, in the yearbook, I'm sure there is. There's nothing online. I can't find anything on the St. Pat website or anything like that. So.
All right. Now, we found out again that Esmeralda also has been part of a Guinness World Record.
Yes. And I totally forgot about this, also because I think someone else, some other city, tried to do it. But mine was the most people wearing Groucho Marx glasses.
That was mine, too!
Really? Oh, that's funny. We were both at the same one.
That's it. 2009, maybe?
Yes. It was apparently July 21st, 2009.
Yeah. Explain what it was.
It was at the Outdoor Film Fest that the city of Chicago would throw, it every week?
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday
I went all the time. My ex-wife and I went every Tuesday.
So this one was Duck Soup.
Yep.
And they had us all, they gave us Groucho Marx glasses, and we just had to wear them for 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, and then they took film.
Right, they tried to take a big picture.
They took a big picture, and they had news crews out there and stuff.
Right.
And when you got in to set up your blanket and all of that, as you did, for when you went to the movies in the park, they said go up to the stage where the screen was, go up to the stage and get your Groucho glasses.
Yes.
And then at one point before the movie started, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had everybody put the glass. They had a guy on a microphone on stage. They had a Groucho guy dressed up as Groucho there too, who was in the show Animal Crackers, the Goodman. Because I remember it was the guy who played Groucho, and Animal Crackers at the Goodman was running because my friend Molly Brennan was in it. And Molly, who is a woman, by the way, played Harpo in that. And so he was there going, "Hey, put on your glasses." That was the worst Groucho.
Apparently, 4,436 people, including me and you.
Yeah. God, it seems like there were more people there.
I mean, there probably was, but I think that might have been who signed or...
Yeah, and signed up and actually got the glasses.
Right, it was enough that they needed.
Yeah. I had them on. We have pictures on somebody's old phone of that. Of us, there were six of us on the blanket just hanging out, and we all had our glasses on.
Oh.
And, but yeah, that's the one I was a part of, too. Most Groucho glasses in one place. and hacky sack at the same time, ironically, Dan.
And hemp necklaces.
And hemp necklaces. I was there, so there was probably some Dave Matthews being played somewhere. So, wow, I can't believe we were part of the same world record.
By the way, yours still stands, it looks like.
Ours still stands.
It is still on the Guinness website.
Take that, Shagru, with your hacky sacky.
I don't think anyone's broken that one.
Anyone's broken what, the hacky sack?
Right.
Now, Dan, you're saying that it has been broken.
I think it has been because it is not listed on the Guinness site.
Oh, I see. Oh, and ours is. Oh, we're in the Guinness World Book of Records, Esmeralda.
I mean, we have to tell people we are. I don't think our names are in there.
No, they listed you and me specifically, and that's it.
Yeah, we're the only two.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we have some other, just not just me and Esmeralda, but there happen to be other Guinness World Book of Record holders that we're going to talk about. After we break for the news on WGN. Oh, I'm a loser. Oh, what a joker. I made my jokes upon you. But there's nothing better to do. Hey. Yeah. Triple play Thursday. We like to do the triple play Thursday here. And the listeners can text in 312-981-7200, an artist, and we'll play three songs, three different bumps during the show because it's Triple Play Thursday. Jay requested Supertramp for his Triple Play Thursday artist. I approve. This message is approved. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about crazy Guinness World Records. And then a little bit later on, we're going to talk with a guy named Kevin Miller. He's a cyclist. He has been riding his stationary bike 24 hours a day since February 21st. He's not going to finish until the 5th. He's doing a 14-day ride to raise funds for 14 different charities and awareness for his new cycling gym called Handlebars in Naperville. That's where he is right now. You can actually go out and support him, cheer him on, and we're going to talk to him live. He's going to be, I think he gets, you know, mandatory breaks here and there. And we'll get all the details on how he prepared, what he's doing this for, and how it's actually being done. We'll talk to him live coming up after the 4:30 news. But before then, we're going to talk about crazy Guinness World Records. All right? How about this one? This can't be real, Dan. This has just got to be weird and wrong. And how is this real? Esmeralda, you see if you just, you guys. Breath held voluntarily.
Is there one for involuntary?
That's yeah. What does that mean? Someone drowned? Took him a long time to drown? The USA's Robert Foster held his breath for 13 minutes, 42.5 seconds, and that was in 1959.
I can see that.
13 minutes?
Not 13 minutes, but people doing that.
I wonder how long it takes, what's his face? That swim guy.
Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he can probably hold in a toke for a real long time.
Just tell him that. I'd be like, pretend like you're holding a toke, man.
Yeah, man. It's like you just blew a bong. Hold that hit as long as you possibly can. What were you going to say, Dan?
No, I was just, this is stupid now. It sounds good.
Don't preface that.
Yeah, I would think actually a swimmer like Michael Phelps would not have as much. Because they're constantly rising and they're always trying to force air in and out as they're competing. Like what I was thinking of when I read about this guy is like the cliff divers, you know, who go and jump off a cliff that's like 80 feet in the air. And then, you know, when they're just the force of impact going down, they travel hundreds of feet underneath ground. So they've got to be able to hold as they wait. And you obviously don't want to come up too high because of the bends.
Yeah.
Oh, but when you're swimming like that, I think you can't suck out air.
Uh-huh.
Every time you come up,
by
because
the way,
you'll get dizzy.
Straight out of context, yes. By the way. Yes.
You'll get dizzy. Because I took swim lessons last year. And I was told that I could stick my head in the water.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily I didn't have to come up as many times as I thought. I could hold it in.
Why don't you call Emily and see what she has to say about this?
Right. Thankfully, we're not at the head underwater point, thankfully. don't like professional athletes do like the Kenny G thing where they're always kind of breathing?
Well, no, that you know who's got like insane lungs on the Hawks?
Duncan Keith.
It's like nuts.
Like,
I bet he could
statistically like his lungs hold 13% more oxygen.
It's
than
absolutely
a normal
true.
Human being.
It's absolutely true.
We gotta
it's insane
get him to do this.
What, to break Robert Foster's record?
Right.
Call up Dunks, will you? They're on their way to Boston. Just give him a call.
Oh, they probably wouldn't want him to hurt himself in any way.
That sounds like something Duncan Keith would do after retirement, though.
Yeah. Well, he can do it on like June 12th after they win the cup again. We'll just call him up, have him come in the studio. Dunks, hold your breath for 13 minutes. Can you do that for us? Then he'd punch me right in the mouth, and I'd have as many teeth as he does.
I'm sure Cochran would be thrilled, because you know it would be an interview with Cochran. We'll be just like, hold your breath for 13 minutes. And so he can't answer questions. He just answers with thumbs up or thumbs down.
Or a buzzer.
About,
Oh, yeah. The goal buzzer.
The goal, yeah. Just play when it's a yes, play Chelsea Dagger. And when it's a no, play
Riveting radio, I'll say.
That's right. How about this? Now, and some of these records, man, who thinks of them? Like, what? Of course this is a world record because nobody on the planet ever thought to do any of these activities. For instance, most glasses balanced on the chin. So somebody just said, yeah, I got an idea. I'd like to see how many glasses I can balance on my chin.
You got to go with your strengths.
Yeah, well, how do you find out that's a strength? That's my question.
There's no table around?
But how do you find out that you can balance stuff on your chin? Does it happen accidentally? Are you eating something and it falls and you balance it on your chin and go, oh, I have a talent for balance. I didn't know this, but I have a talent for balancing things on my chin.
Well, it's like those people that are magnetic and they put forks on their faces and stuff. Like, how do they figure that out?
Wait a minute. It's like those people who are magnetic.
Right, like Cuphead. What was his name?
Cuphead?
Remember he stuck all the...
Was it Cuphead?
I think it was because he put a bunch of cups on his head.
Yeah. I think he had a different... Did he have... Was it called Cuphead? Mughead or...
I want to say Cup.
It was something... Because Bill and Wendy had him on. And he
right.
was running around on Michigan Avenue sticking stuff on his skull.
Canhead.
That's what
go,
it was.
Sorry, Canhead.
Canhead is a human suction cup.
He's a human suction
like,
cup.
Says Marcus Leshock, WGS.
Well, there you go. If Marcus Leshock says it,
again,
it's got to be true.
How do you figure that one out?
Just ask Marcus. He knows it.
How does he realize, oh, can't stick to my head?
No, that's a great question. That is a great question. Balancing glasses. This guy had 17 pint glasses balanced on his chin for 10.6 seconds. So does that mean, like, pint glasses as they stack into one another? Do you know what I mean? That would be my guess.
That can get dangerous because they can crack.
Yes, they can.
I know. Well, in my bartending days, I was told not to stack them because they can break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we stack.
Sometimes you sometimes they'll break.
Yeah, we stacked them.
Well, sometimes they break. I've seen it.
No, I have too. I bartended for a while. I know what you're talking about. How about this? Most lightning strikes survived. Now, see, this is something you can't control. That's just like, what kind of luck does this guy have? I mean, what is? I mean, this. Okay, most lightning strikes survived. Roy C. Sullivan from Virginia was struck for the seventh time. This guy has been struck by lightning seven times. This was in 1977. Seven times. All right, how about this? The longest attack of hiccups. Charles Osgood from the U.S. from 1922 to 1990, this guy had the hiccups. 1922 to 1990.
Sounds like a real sad life.
Oh, you ever see that at the Simpsons episode where it's like, and coming up next on Springfield, Eye on Springfield, the man who's been hiccuping since 1943. And then they show him, and he goes, kill me, please, kill me. How about this? Now, here's another one. Here's another one. Why does this exist? Why does this record exist? Longest time with a nail in the head.
Do you have to still be living?
That's a great question, Esmeralda. I think so. You know, because man killed by nail gun to the head, that doesn't count because he's in the ground right now, but he's still got a nail in his head.
And also, how deep does the nail have to be?
That's a good question. Robin Henshaw had a 1-inch rusty nail stuck between his ear and eye for 22 years. So in his temple?
Did he cut it down?
I don't know.
Or did they hammer it in the whole way?
I think it was like Richard Kiel in Happy Gilmore. He's walking around with a giant nail sticking out of the top. Have you guys seen, am I the only one who's seen Happy Gilmore? You've seen Happy Gilmore.
I've seen it. I just don't remember that.
Wait, you don't remember Richard Kiel with a nail sticking out of his head?
Not really, no.
Come on. Dan, you remember it, right?
I do.
And it inspires one of the greatest double takes in the history of cinema. When Christopher McDonald, who is a genius, who plays Shooter McGavin in that movie, he doesn't see Richard Kiel standing behind him, who was a 7'10" guy, and he had a giant nail sticking out of his head. And he says some smart aleck remark, and he goes, and Richard Kiel goes, you know, Happy Gilmore had his ball went 450 feet this morning. And Christopher McDonald, as he's slowly turning around to face Richard Kiel, who he has not seen yet, is slowly turning around and goes, oh, my God, when he sees Richard Kiel for the first time with a nail sticking out of his head. 22 years this guy had a nail, a rusty nail. I like that little detail. All right, we got more crazy crazy records. And we'll find out about how well you can hold your breath. That's something we need to learn. Dan, you getting dunks on the phone right now?
I am. It's going to voicemail.
Yeah, okay. Keep calling. He and I are buddies. Morning, Nick DiGilio here. Steve Grzanich in the opening bell at 5. And my buddy, the great Steve Cochran at 6. Triple play Thursday. Yeah. Triple play Thursday. That's Jay requested Supertramp. I'm happy to hear that request. Because, you know, Supertramp is featured prominently in my favorite movie of all time. No, I don't know if you guys know that. Esmeralda, did you know that Supertramp is featured prominently in Magnolia?
I didn't.
In all of the bar scenes where William H. Macy goes to the bar because he's got a crush on the bartender. And he sits at the bar and has little confrontations with Henry Gibson, who plays a character named Thurston Howell. It's all Supertramp playing in that bar. And I always refer to it as the Supertramp bar because every time they cut back, there's a Supertramp song playing. So either that or somebody in that bar went to the jukebox and played a lot of Supertramp, which is fine with me. But my friend Steve Walker, who's a buddy of mine, he's an actor, by the way, who's getting rave reviews for playing Teach in David Mamet's American Buffalo at Mariachi Theater, which is their final show in their 30-year run, Mariachi Theater. He's getting rave reviews. Terrific actor. I've acted with him. I've directed him. He's great. And I can't wait. I'm going to see him next week playing Teach. Anyway, he moved out to L.A. for a little while. And he sent me a picture on my computer before I had a phone that you could actually do this with. But he sent me a picture on his computer. He's like, hey, look, I'm at the Magnolia Bar. And he sent me a bunch of pictures of the outside and then the inside, and it was the bar that they shot all the Supertramp scenes in Magnolia. So obviously I was unbelievably jealous. So it's one of my one of those places that I would love to visit from movie sets. Oh, we have a phone call here. We're talking about crazy world records. This is Tim on WGN. Hey, Tim, we met you at Scarface a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I was there. It was the first time I got to go to one of your screenings, because Tuesdays don't really work for me since I work about the same hours as you.
That's too bad, because this Tuesday we're doing The Thing with John Carpenter, The Thing, this Tuesday.
I know. Well, to make it up for it to you, I'm gonna try to get to the Music Box tomorrow for that Interstellar.
Oh yeah.
I know it's not a GN thing, but I heard you talk about it, and Mr. Shigeru over there was good enough to tell me the information on it.
Yeah, I'm going to see Interstellar is being screened in 70mm tomorrow at the Music Box as part of their 70mm Film Festival, and Interstellar was my favorite movie of 2014, and I've never seen it in 70mm. So yes, I will. Well, I'll see you there, Tim. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I actually watched it because you recommended it, and that was another one that, you know, before the screening with Scarface, I told you these movies you tell me to watch are making me a blubbering mess.
Oh, God. That, Interstellar,
that one was included.
Interstellar destroys me when I watch that movie. I did not expect to sob like 20 times during that movie, but I did. So
no, that last scene when he sees his mom after all those years and she's about ready to die. I was like, oh, come on, man.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Esmeralda, have you seen Interstellar, Esmeralda?
I haven't. Is that the...
It's McConaughey.
Right.
And it's Christopher Nolan's movie.
Is it kind of sci-fi-y?
It is very sci-fi-y, but it's also incredibly human, which I didn't expect.
Oh.
It was by far my favorite movie of last year, before last, 2014.
Yeah.
All right, so Tim,
I only saw it on DVD at home.
That's too bad. Well, wait, when you see it in 70mm, it's going to blow your head off, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, hey, you'll get to see a grown man cry again.
All right. All right, well, Tim, what did you call in about now? A record or what's going on?
Okay, yeah. So I was a pretty successful swimmer for a lot of years, and I was in high school at the time. I was in my high school biology class, and the teacher, Mr. Lott, held a contest to let's see how long you can hold your breath. And I was like, oh, okay. And some of the history of the school is there was an Olympian, he was an Olympic runner from, I don't know, 15, 20 years before me, that had the record at like, I don't know, 7 minutes and something. I was like, I bet you I can beat that. So I tried it, and I set the new record at Fenton High School there in Bentonville. It was about 8 minutes and 45 seconds or so.
You held your breath for 8 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yes. Now, I don't recommend it because you get about halfway through and, you know, things start taking on like a sepia tone.
Yeah.
Which isn't good. And then when you actually take a breath, you have this incredibly wicked headache for the rest of the day. It is not a good idea. Oh, it was awful. But I don't think that's been broken at the high school since then. But
wow. Well, good for you.
Proud of it.
Good for you,
yeah.
Tim. You should be. All right. Cool. All right. Thank you, Tim.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Take it easy. 8 minutes holding your breath.
It's no 13.
Not 13.
What year was that?
Of the 13 minutes? Mm-hmm. 59.
Wow, broken it.
Who the hell's going to try? Why?
Because people want to be Guinness World Record
holders.
Well,
here's a good one. Most feet sniffed. How about that one? This one might hold for a while.
Now I'm amazed that one hasn't been broken.
It's in a 15-year career, Madeleine Albrecht... That's real close to it. That's real close to a name that would be very funny if she held the record. Sniffed 5,600 feet while working for foot care experts at Dr. Scholl's. So her job was to sniff feet. That's a great job right there. How do I get a job smelling feet?
Oh, no thanks.
Come on.
Well, I kudos to people who do pedicures.
Who
have to do them, I feel sick.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a couple of quick texts. 773 area code says, what's the world record for Mad Max viewings? Well, let's see. I'm currently at 31.
Although they'd have to break them down, I think, between TV or at home versus theater.
16 times in the theater for me.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't think that's a record. I might hold the record for Phantasm, for the movie Phantasm in theaters, because when it came out in the theaters in 1979, I'm not kidding you, I saw it over 100 times in the theater. Over 100 times. 815 area code says, I saw a woman on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last year who set the world record for most Christmas trees chopped down in 2 minutes. Rich says, another group of people who would have to hold their breath for long periods of time are sponge divers. And I think lots of these people hold records are circus performers who are always trying to do stuff like these. Oh, sure.
Well, yeah, you can't just walk off the street. And...
Yeah. Yeah, this guy who holds the record for holding his breath for 23 minutes, tooling guy, die.
Dan, you should try it.
Dan,
you got that hacky sack one under your
that
belt.
That smells like foot cheese territory.
Yeah, foot cheese. You got to get foot cheese. Well, his lungs are actually going to be worked out because he's going to be blowing up 12,000 balloons when we finally hit 12,000 fans on our Facebook page.
Right. So he's getting, and he blows them up every night.
Every night. And then has to deflate them because he thinks every night we're going to hit 12,000 fans.
Right. So I smell a skating contest between him and Dunks.
Set that up, will you, Dan, while you're trying to get a hold of Dunks?
You got it.
Don't leave that on his voicemail, though. We want to surprise him with foot cheese when he gets here. Shock radio, man. That's what you want to do. That's quality radio. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up. And then after the news, a guy who's actually doing something to raise awareness and to raise money, a guy named Kevin Miller, who's been on a stationary bike for 24 hours a day since February 21st. We're going to talk to him live after the news, which is next.